This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons continues now here on WEEI. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937 and on your smart speaker, the command play 937 WEEI Boston. And Alexa brings you right here. John, that's interesting comments there from Gerard Mayo. My favorite part of it is, this isn't like basketball or baseball where you can just kind of fantasy league it the way you want. Look, he's telling you what's relatively true about the team. Outside of Christian Gonzalez and Drake May and maybe Ramondre Stevenson, and maybe the number wasn't high enough, there's nobody on this team that's going to get you even the beginning of day two draft pick compensation.
Yeah, because the most valuable assets the Patriots have to trade are Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, and their draft picks next spring. Like, that's what it is. Like, this roster just doesn't have those guys. And Scheim and I were talking about this last night after the trade deadline, and the one guy that I thought might get traded that didn't, and I'm glad he didn't because he's my favorite player on the team, but that's Jonathan Jones. And he was one guy that, you know, he's 30, he's been in the league 8 years, he's won two Super Bowls at, you know, when he's played slot corner, he was the best slot corner in the league. He's played pretty well at outside corner. He's even played a little safety. So I was surprised that a contending team didn't try to jump on him and make an offer for him. But that's really the only guy they had that I'm like, oh, that would be a fit for them to trade and for a team to offer a reasonable return. They didn't have a lot of those guys that teams were clamoring for. I mean, you look at the trades that were made. Za'Darius Smith, DeAndre Hopkins, Patriots don't have guys like that.
Let's go back to Patriots, because you would ask, what do you think the return would be for a 30-year-old cornerback?
Right, it probably would have been a fourth, I would say, in that range.
So you're better off saying no to that deal and having a player that can still contribute to your team, because that's the other thing, is you could send these guys off, but ghosts are coming back, right? There's no physical players coming back. So you say, hey, they might move K.J. Osborne. Boy, that bag of oranges looks really good coming back. Maybe they need oranges after practice. Like, because you have to realize, and this is what I've been saying all season, this is not a roster outside of when Matthew Judon was here that's going to get you any garnished real interest of getting anything back that's going to help build the team. If you're going to tell me it's going to be another seventh rounder, you could say the Patriots have every draft pick in the seventh round next season, right? Everybody trades their picks of the seventh round to the Patriots next year, and I bet you the Patriots still will not find too many players better than what they've got on the team.
And
right
here's
now.
A thing that I actually, it was talked about last night on Boston Sports Tonight, and I found it interesting. The seventh round now, is it a little less valuable than in years past? And the reason I say that is a lot of those fringe college players now, maybe are they getting NIL money and staying an extra year and not coming out in the draft? So maybe a seventh round this year, it's a little watered down because some of those guys that maybe would have come out early are staying for their senior years and then making a decision. So is a seventh round for a guy like Osborne even less valuable than it would have been 2 years ago?
You know what the seventh round is really pretty much right now? It's like getting on a particular meme coin 3 months after it's come out. Like, you haven't had access. I don't know if I'm familiar with crypto. You can't get access to the exchange it's on because only the makers have made it. So they're the ones that minted the coins. And so they're the first.
Isn't it like blockchain? You have to go through that to get the.
So by time you're able to get to like a house that can house you buying this stuff, oh man, you're 400 million coins behind. So again, like, there's not like anything really below the fifth round is really just someone who's probably going to compete. Now, you may crapshoot and find a Brock Purdy at the end of the seventh round, but I would say you would need a Kyle Shanahan to be able to make that draft pick to say, I could make him work. What would that pick be? Like, if we're talking about someone who's on the defensive side of the ball or someone who can help with the passing game, look, you've got two sixth rounders as your two primary receivers. Like, help. I think what Douglas has offered, right? And Boudy could have been a round one guy. But
even a seventh and like a seventh round guy, even if he's good, it's probably going to be a developmental guy. Like Julian Edelman was a seventh round pick, but he didn't make a huge impact really until his fourth or fifth year in the league. I mean, I know he had those few touchdowns his rookie year and the playoff loss to Baltimore, but as far as the consistent impact, it was several years in the league, right? So a lot of these guys in the sixth, seventh round don't pan out, and the ones that do, a lot of time take multiple years before they get there. So, and also, to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be unkind here, I bet you most teams in the league would probably find their seventh-round pick more valuable than K.J. Osborne. I mean, what has he done to show that he would add value to a team, especially a contending team?
Well, he hasn't done anything since he's been here. Now,
that's
if it's
right.
still what he did in Minnesota, that's the reason why the Patriots...
Like, that's a team with the best receiving group in the league, and they still were like, okay, nah, we'll let him go. We're fine.
Well, that's fine, because at the end of the day, you feel like Justin Jefferson is all the man that you'll ever need. And then you can put anybody next to him, so there's no reason of, hey, KJ, we're going to increase your money, though I like the sound of that. Hey, KJ, we're going to increase your money when you've got a guy here that you still are pretty much paying on a rookie deal. And then when you do the extension, you can still kind of control the money moving forward. You don't want to let Justin Jefferson get to the market and then try and negotiate. So trust me, as long as he's got breath in his body, they're going to say, hey, we know there's still 2 years left on your deal, but we want to get to you now before the number becomes absolutely just an unbelievable number. So I think that's the situation that you have. Well, I was going to say with Edelman, he was a quarterback. So I think there was a bit of advantage being able to kind of understand what the quarterback wanted to do. And then when you transfer yourself into being a receiver and return guy, you can then be a better route runner because you know what a quarterback wants to do. I don't know how many of those guys are really left. I do like what you said about the NIL deals. Like, hey, buddy, you might be a fifth or sixth rounder, or you can keep this $500,000 in this nice GMC and stay at school or another and come to our school.
Yeah.
You know, so you're absolutely right. It's really a watered down situation. I would almost have to say after the fifth round, probably in the NFL draft, at least moving forward for the immediate time moving forward, that's going to be watered down 5, 6, and 7. Because if you're a player coming out of college, you probably want to say, okay, everybody wants to be day one, right? But if you're told, hey, you're getting scooped up immediately on day two, that's more interesting than to say, okay, I'll stick around for 5. Oh, I didn't get 5, now I'm 6. Now, maybe I just should be a free agent. Please don't draft me, you know? So you're literally this Patriots team that if you start collecting a bunch of sixth and seventh round guys, I mean, my God. What are you going to do, package those into bad mortgages? Adjustable arm mortgages?
Some of them may hit, but the easiest way to become a contender once again is hit on those day one and day two picks, right? Which they've done a really inconsistent job of the last 5, 6 years. So can you do that? I mean, Drake May looks like a hit. Jalen Polk is jury still out there, but going into next year, I mean, there was nobody on this team that they were going to be able to trade and get a day one or a day two pick. I don't see anyone on this roster outside of May and Gonzalez, which obviously weren't going to get traded, that they would have got a day one or a day two pick for.
So that gets us to the Elliott Wolf conversation, which we'll pick up next. Join the conversation. KJ Lines, 617-779-7937, text line 37937 on WEEI. Still to come, Young or Clueless, that's in 30, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180. Celtics return home for a matchup against Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Jaylen Brown will be absent for tonight's game as he continues to nurse a nagging hip injury. Tip-off from the Garden set for 7:30. Bruins fell back into their old habits last night, falling to the Maple Leafs 4-0 up in Toronto. Leafs scored 3 power play goals on 7 attempts. Bees will return home tomorrow, where they will welcome the Calgary Flames. Puck drop from the Garden set for 7 o'clock. Patriots return to the practice field today ahead of Sunday's matchup against number one pick Caleb Williams and the Bears. Safety Kyle Duggar remained absent with an ankle injury. Limited participants include safety Marte Mapu, defensive end Keon White, and guard Layden Robinson. Kickoff from Soldier Field in Chicago set for 1 o'clock on Sunday. November is Veterans Month, and Awaken 180 is honoring all active duty veterans and spouses with 15% off your entire program, plus the same free support for life all clients receive. Celebrate Veterans Month with 15% off at awaken180weightloss.com. My name is Zach Cohen, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions, WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your Wednesday here. Some calling it the day after. Maybe that's why the Patriots weren't able to get a deal yesterday. Like, sometimes the TV has you captured. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be up until like 3 in the morning watching to see if any trade deadlines are done by 4 in the afternoon. I know that makes no sense. But look, John, that's a very good question by that reporter. You have 7 wide receivers and no bride, right? Like, there's – I can see if you had someone like a DeAndre Hopkins and you're trying to figure out some other 6 of the other guys, right? Because then you would say this would be the leader. Maybe Kendrick Bourne is the closest to that. But if you can put everybody in this big group picture and say this is all pretty much the same, what does that say about Elliott Wolf's ability to get real talent here? Because KJ Osborne is a new guy in. Jalen Reagor was a guy that was brought in last year, I think it was.
Yep.
So you have these guys that are around here that are not really offering up much. And the other part of it is going to be detrimental to the success of both Drake May and Jerod Mayo ultimately. Are you concerned that Elliott Wolf just isn't cut out, or people just don't want to deal with him in this organization?
KJ, we've been talking about this for 2 years now. There is no one on this offense that a defense has to game plan around.
Nobody.
Whether it's receiver, tight end, right? Because I know
maybe Stevenson.
Yeah, but even him lately, I mean, not really this
game.
Year, right?
So right, yeah.
Like, even, and I know everyone falls in love with the number one wide receiver, right, and all those guys, but even, I mean, there were many years where here in New England, that guy was Rob Gronkowski at tight end, right? Like, right now in Kansas City, it's Travis Kelce at tight end who routinely gets doubled, and that opens things up for other guys, right? And it happens other, like, there's
look
no
how
one.
Good they look with Hopkins out there now.
Yeah, right. but whether it's receiver or tight end, there's nobody in this offense that's a top three player at his position or a top five player at his position that a defense has to game plan around. There just isn't. There really hasn't been in several years. If you want to count Stevenson in 2022, okay, sure. But other than that, we've gone, what, 4 or 5 years without the Patriots having a guy, a team has to game plan around at some point in the passing game, and it's been a detriment to their passing game. And you're right, it has a negative effect on Drake May's development, has a negative effect on Jerod Mayo. And when it comes to Wolf, Shime and I talked about this last night. This was his first trade deadline as the guy in charge, and I was curious, is he going to follow the Green Bay Packer way, where they don't really dabble in free agency, they don't really do many trades, they just draft and re-sign their own guys because that's where he originally came from, right? Or is he going to lean a little bit more towards the Patriots where, yeah, they would want to draft their own guys, but they're more active in free agency, especially in recent years. They make a decent amount of trades, especially trades on the margins. And he kind of, at least for this deadline, was more on the Packers side of things.
I was going to say, you answered your own question.
He traded Uche. And other than that, they really did nothing. And if you go back to free agency,
who made a key tackle in that Kansas City game.
Yeah, and if you go back to free agency, I mean, he really brought in nobody of significance. I mean, his biggest acquisitions aren't even on the team anymore, right? In Okorafor and Nick Leverett. So it's, I wonder, is he leaning more and more towards that way? And is, my concern is, does he go too far to that way? Because I think there were years in that Packers run where, to their own detriment, they never really dabbled in free agency and they didn't make aggressive enough trades. Like, you have to be able to do those things. And look, drafting's the most important thing, but you have to be able to do those other things if you're going to be a contender year in and year out.
Well, I think what helps it is if you've got a person like Aaron Rodgers there, you don't have to worry. You're always going to – Green Bay always competed – to the point where they were never early in the draft, right? All those years that Aaron Rodgers
in the 20s or whatever.
Right. So you're really talking about, do you have the skill set to either navigate making a trade with someone who might not be in the first round, and you might bump down or move up, or you find that gem in there that's going to accent what you already have on the team. This team doesn't need accent. It needs like actual meat, potatoes, a fork, a knife, a cup for the drink.
They just don't have that.
They need the whole setting. And so this is his first time really probably putting together the whole setting. You look, when you sign, when all the players were re-signed, and even when you talk about like who are the higher signed, when they got Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, that combo, they were like the ranked 7th and 8th free agents available on the market. So relatively high, but both at the same position. And you would say, okay, by the time you get to the 7th player, if they're a receiver, it's a tight end, they're probably tight end one, tight end two, and that was the story with Smith and Hunter Henry. But you didn't have anything in place to replicate what you were trying to do getting the two tight end set. Now, Hunter Henry, clearly not in the conversation of a top three tight end in the league, not a top five tight end in the league at this point. And you would have to say, okay, the quarterback you have in place now, you actually need more than what you have. So there has to be some sense of urgency for what you have, because you remember with Mac, it was all about development, year one, year two, year three. It was all about taking your time with Mac. With Drake May, you're like, okay, this kid has the ability to drive a fast car and not crash. So let's give him a nice, good, fast car to go along with him who knows what they're doing. And now you have pieces in there where, and this even goes to the interception at the end of the game in overtime, was, let's say you had a higher caliber receiver running the underneath route. You don't think one of those two high tops come down to make sure that
right.
that guy,
maybe
doesn't,
that guy doesn't fall like
right.
Kendrick Bourne did. Yeah.
Right. Or you say, I can't go double highs, because with defenses now with the Patriots, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to keep everything in front of me and never worry about anything going past me. I don't see any quality that's going to beat me that way. But if you've got good quality coming underneath, you're like, shoot, if I don't get to that guy, and if I miss that tackle, this guy could break it and run it into the house. I've got to come off of my man and trust that this other guy can handle the man-to-man on the outside. Well, then that's where you can take either one of those shots. This is why I say there has to be some sense of urgency, because I think when we look back at the season, once it's over, you're going to have to say, okay, the Patriots, as bad as they were, played themselves into a couple of overtime games with some relatively decent teams. At the same time, played themselves in overtime or were in competitive games with teams they should have beaten. That says that's a growing pains team. But way you remedy that quickly is you have to get an A1 receiver for Drake May, I think even more so than a stud college left tackle who may not be able to handle the pass rush, you find that out, but at least with a receiver, or trade that pick and get a top receiver. He needs that because you see what he does with his legs that almost buys you a little bit of cachet of not having to go get a boss offensive line because he can move the pocket.
Yeah, I still think left tackle is the bigger need, and that offensive line continues to be bad.
Then a receiver one?
Yes, that offensive line continues to be bad week in and week out. They can't protect May. I mean, they're averaging below 4 yards per carry when running to the left side of the line. Like, that's abysmal. I mean, you look at they've given up 31 sacks, third most in the NFL. I mean, Vidarian Lowe's given up 14 pressures. Jacobs is 22. Like, May has, like, that's the thing. And they need both, though, right? So I think if they have the first pick in the draft, that also means they're going to have 33, the first pick of the second round. You should be able to leverage those two picks into getting both of those things, whether that means you trade down and get the tackle or trade down and get the receiver and then use that second round pick to trade for a vet. But I mean, I've believed this for a while, KJ, is that a mistake they made last year is at the beginning of the offseason, they had three major needs on offense, right? Quarterback, receiver, and offensive tackle. And they went into the draft still needing all three of those things. They shouldn't make that mistake. Like, now they have the quarterback, but they still need the other two. They should go into the draft.
Well, the receiver didn't come, right? They did make a run.
But the point is they didn't get it, right? They didn't have it. So they go into the draft needing all three. They should go into the draft now addressing one of those beforehand, right? You don't want to go into the draft with multiple major needs like that, and then you get in a tough spot where maybe you're not taking the player you want because you have this major need, and they should have the ability to address, again, whether it's receiver or tackle, they should have the ability to address one of those before the draft, and then they can spend their time early in the draft focusing on that other need.
Well, here's kind of like the curse of the wide receiver that's going on here is, okay, you take N'Keal Harry at the end of the first round, and he was a star when he was at Arizona State. The tape, I'll put it this way, the tape was impressive. That what else could you go by?
The scouts, right? The scouts like the other guys better.
Well, that's okay. That's okay because those guys may not still be here. Because keep in mind, Jacoby Meyer still isn't here, and he would be the best receiver in the receiver room.
Yeah,
right,
it's
now.
Another mistake, right? Letting him go. Yeah.
So that's somebody that you did have and did perform and was growing in a weird situation. And now the guy is pretty much the one receiver in Vegas. I know it's tough for him, but now it's going to cost you considerably more if you want to bring him back. You could still have him for, what, $11, $12
million? Sounds right. Whatever Juju Smith-Schuster got, right? Like, right. It was the same deal.
Right. So you could have had someone that was here that developed into someone, almost a similar story with Edelman, right? A former quarterback was able to pick up the receiver position pretty well because he knew as a quarterback what he would want to do a receiver. So you could have continued that on, been able to get great value from him, and then build off of that, right? It would have probably been easier to then go get another receiver in free agency, because if you get this one receiver, the one thing they're going to want is knowing that there's someone else who's going to demand some type of coverage on him, right? If you're always getting rolled the double coverage, it's not a whole lot of fun, but if at least you know you have a Jacoby Meyers out there, you know that someone's going to have to respect him a bit, and then if you get your one-on-one coverage with someone like a Drake May, on a broken play or seemingly quote unquote broken play, which would probably be the line breaks down and you've got to scramble. Now it becomes one of those situations. Just get the ball up and I got you. This team does not have a go up and get the ball and I got you guy. They don't. And that's what Drake May needs. And he needs it right away. Then what you, Tyquan Thornton, second round, you thought like, here's a speedster. How many times has he run out of the tunnel? Like, that's probably the fastest he's run.
Yeah, and it feels like in a good offense, a lot of these receivers either wouldn't be part of it or they'd be two slots down from where they are, right? Like, in a really good offense, DeMario Douglas might be your number three receiver, right? Jalen Polk, maybe if he fully pans out and he rebounds from his early struggles, could be a number two, right? But right now, DeMario Douglas is basically your one. Kendrick Bourne and Kayshon Booty are your two and three, and those are guys that, if you had a truly good offense, Kendrick Bourne might be your third or fourth, Booty's maybe your fifth, and instead those guys are out there all the time because they don't have that guy that a defense has to game plan around. They don't, whether it's receiver or tight end, they just don't have that guy. So now a defense goes into a game plan against the Patriots and say, all right, well, let's just make sure he doesn't throw a 40-yard touchdown to Kayshon Booty, and other than that, we're pretty much good in the pass game.
Yeah, it feels like with the Patriots receivers, it's like I'm watching a a play production of Hamilton at the Kenny Bunkport, Maine Playhouse, right? It's like, oh, okay, these guys seem to do, but you're like, wait a minute, this isn't the real Hamilton. And you don't feel like you've got receivers out there that are the real deal. Now, when Kendrick Bourne, who I always thought was set up to kind of be the number two, remember Juju Smith-Schuster didn't pan out. And so you're like, okay, that pairing didn't work. Bourne isn't a number one, but yet he's had the best catch radius, one of the best catch radiuses in the league over the last couple of years. But now you feel like, okay, I'm not even seeing that part. Like, he's not even been the go-to guy. And you would think he would be the go-to guy for a rookie to at least get some type of above quality. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, and last year, and before his injury, he was on pace to set career highs, right, in yards, catches. And he just hasn't looked the same since he came back from his injury.
He did gel with Mac pretty well at one point. Yeah, it was his guy to go to.
They had 800 yards together his first year, right? Like, so, yeah, he was a guy that you felt like, all right, maybe he can be part of a good offense moving forward. Again, if he's the second, third guy now coming back from his injury, maybe it's closer to a fourth guy. But instead, he still has to play this big role because that's where they're at in the receiver group. And even you look at tight end. I mean, in a really good offense, is Austin Hooper playing a major role? Like, probably not. Yet he has to play a big role in this offense. Like, Antonio Gibson, in a good offense, probably has more opportunities in the screen game to pick up some yards, but they really aren't there. Part of that's play calling, but part of that is
he's not a between-the-backs runner.
And defenses don't have to worry about anything down the field, so they can just key on Gibson if he tries to run any routes underneath. So it's like it's this vicious cycle of things that's really preventing you from having a lot of success throwing the ball.
So maybe I should be a bit fair on Wolf when I say, okay, going into the season, did you really believe that you were going to lean on the passing game, or did you believe you were going to lean on your near all-pro running back in Ramondre Stevenson, right? Because
that
they
gave
really,
an extension to.
Right, they gave the extension to, what is it, nine a year or something? Something
yeah,
there
it's
in
like
that
4 years, 36, 37
right,
million.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you give him money that's not too far behind Saquon was fighting for 11 in New York. So you're being paid very well. You don't really have a second back behind you, and that's not happened. So maybe you're thinking, why should we spend a lot of monies on receiver when we spent a considerable amount on our running back who's showing to progress well? But now, probably next week, maybe we do some of our draft analysis. Did you and Sean do that last night?
No, we stayed mostly away from it.
Okay, so maybe next week as you get closer, we know, because we both did our kind of like little mock drafts. And I'm thinking like, man, I feel like in one of these later rounds, I might need to go get a running back because I don't know what production you're going to get from Stevenson moving forward. And if you get a repeat of what you've had so far this year, then getting into next year, you have a back who's not only losing their value, but is now eating up contract. I might have to go find that understudy right away. I go remember three back when it was Harris,
it's
Ramondre.
It's funny you bring that up because I had this
Pierre.
Conversation with John Serenides, the New England Football Journal, last week. The Patriots have a sneaky need at running back. Like, we talk about receiver, we talk about tight end, and those are the bigger needs, and I think left tackle is the biggest need. And even they have another sneaky need, the interior of the offensive line, right? Like, David Andrews is out all year. Is he going to come back? Is he going to be healthy enough, right? What are they doing at guard? There's been inconsistencies there, right?
Defensive
so
line.
They really have multiple needs on the offensive line. They have needs on defense too, but running back is, look, I think Stevenson is a good player and he's in a bad situation right now, but he also has not played as well as he did the last couple of years. And Gibson behind him hasn't given you as much as you thought he would. There's really nobody behind them. I mean, Jamichael Hasty has made no impact. So running back is something that, you know, it's not your second or third round pick, but fourth or fifth round,
right.
It's kind of a sneaky,
pretty high.
Yeah, but then you get into a situation where you probably need another linebacker, right? You maybe need another corner, maybe need another defensive tackle, maybe need another right tackle to go along with the left tackle you draft early. Are you really going to take a running back over all those things? Like, I don't know, but it's one of the, it's
in the draft.
There.
Yes.
It's like, but it's a slow burn of kind of this sneaky need where you sign Gibson in free agency, you give Stevenson a contract extension. Yet I look at this room and I'm like, man, it feels like they're just missing something in that maybe. And look, a lot of it's the offensive line. We have to emphasize that, but still it just feels like they're missing one other little piece in that running back room.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I say you go and spend for offensive linemen, because at least these are the guys. You can give them more money to do the job they've already done in the league. The worst thing you could do is get an offensive lineman and see what you have here, right? Where you guys are going in and out. Like, not only can they not not contribute to what the team is doing out there, but you've got to let them go. So you don't want to do that with offensive linemen and potentially waste draft picks. Like, we almost have to say that Cole Strange is a draft pick that has not paid off, and you don't know if it ultimately will, right? So that's the other part. So I would go and spend for the line and go find the running back, at least who may have the fresh legs in a fourth or fifth round. Like last year, I was like, man, boy, if the Patriots could get Estime from Notre Dame, he's in Denver now, just as a change of pace back or a second. Pacheco comes back, Kareem Hunt is doing the things that he was doing. So now if you've got that as a 1-2 punch in the playoffs, like, Kelce can have three receptions the whole game and Kansas City win by 25 because they have that running game. You don't want to spend money for a running back that's already been used in the league unless they're like a star running back, right? Like, if you're paying money for a running back to come to the team, like, look at remember Ezekiel Elliott. Remember last year, like, oh, man, if he can just get you 400 yards.
If they had that guy right now, they'd be better off. Like, what Zeke Elliott gave them last year was more than what Antonio Gibson's given them this year.
Maybe more than you're getting from Ramondre Stevenson this year?
To be honest, yeah.
That's the big problem, right?
We have to say, I mean, the offensive line was a little bit better last year. Like, that's a huge part of this, too.
Wait,
like,
they were last year, too.
They were, I don't know if they were last, they were near the bottom.
Second to last or last last year.
But, like, this offensive line's worse than it was last year, and that's a big part of this, too. And I think that's another part, is that if you get the offensive line help right, whether it's free agency, the draft, a combination of the two, that in itself is going to make your running back room better, right? It's going to make them look better. But still, that being said, I agree with you. It feels like they need another guy there to bring a little bit of a different element that they haven't had.
All right, KJ and Lyons on WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll check in on the Celtics game with Golden State just tipping off a couple minutes ago. That's still to come. But next, the young or the clueless here on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
WEEI, let that rock, Zach, let that rock. Yeah. About to go way down. I'm sorry. KJ Lyons on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out on a Wednesday. And, you know, John, I do feel for a lot of people today because a lot of people are feeling different ways. It's just been an emotional tug and pull here over the last few years. Let's just call it what it is. It's been a few years.
It's been like an eight-year thing.
It really feels like, I want to say probably last time I didn't feel like it was a tug and pull might have been like 2004. like it seemed to be things that, isn't that crazy to say, like, 20 years ago, maybe it seemed like you could tell left from right. And I'm not talking about in terms of political, maybe up from down. Maybe that's better. So that way no one thinks that the conversation is going
away.
I'd
say for me, it was like 2012, 13-ish range.
Right.
But still, even that's 10 years, right?
But even someone would tell you, like, oh, no, let me tell you this and this, that, and the third and this, that. You know, so it's, you know, if there's a hope that I have is hope that people see what they're getting. But at the same time, you know, look, when people make choices, there are rewards and there are consequences, sometimes just as equally strong. And you will have to see what those flesh out to be, right? It's you know, this is, I told my, because, you know, obviously it's the conversation at everybody's table today. You know, I think it's just very important for some people to really hone in on being very close to their families. Better to do more listening and saying less, just observing. Because, right, you ever hear the saying that when two people are arguing, you know, what is it? I forgot how Jay-Z said it. Maybe you, this is where you can help me, John. It's like two people arguing from a distance. You can't tell. You can't tell who's the fool. You can't tell the fool from who's the fool.
I don't remember the exact line, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. When you get into these battles back and forth, when you remove yourself and you watch what's going on, sometimes you really can't tell who the fool is. I think what's really, really disappointing, I grew up in a very diverse situation. And so I've just been watching my classmates just kind of tell each other that we're never talking to each other again. I was thinking, isn't this like what we did like in 10th grade? Like, if you can't get the beer for us, like, why are you hanging out with us? No kidding. But, and that's the point of, you know, like, you know, what matters more? The people that you have the interpersonal relationships with, or the ones that you feel have some type of interpersonal relationship with you through an entity, right? Like, yeah. You can love KJ and Lions, but you probably could not tell us the first names of our brothers and sisters. Like, yeah. You don't know us that well.
Yeah, and I think there's a, and it's another interesting discussion, there's a large segment of people that when they see a piece of information they don't like, they just choose not to believe it. And just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's not true. And I think we've seen an explosion of that really over the past 10 to 15 years where, and there's been a lot of people saying, you know, legacy media is dead, this and that. And I think, look, the media market and the media landscape is so much more diverse. And I think there's some good in that. But I think there's also a tendency where I'm only going to listen to this news show or even this sports radio show, whatever, because they say the things I like to hear. But you don't know for sure if it's really true. And I think that's been a big issue over the last 10 to 15 years. And now, I mean, we saw it through the pandemic. We've seen it through two elections where there's a lot of people that, you know, if they go outside and the sky is blue, someone will say, no, it's actually orange. And people
right, it's
will
a conspiracy
it.
Theory right. if you think it's blue.
Right, and I think that's a major issue, right? Like, just because you don't like something doesn't mean it's not true. Like, you could you could be mad about who won the election yesterday, but that doesn't make it not true, and vice versa, right? Like, so I think that's been a major problem over the last 10 to 15 years as well, and it leads into what you're kind of talking about
too. Yeah, it kind of tickles me when I hear people talk about, like, legacy media, because really what they're saying is they, in some regard or in some auxiliary way, are trying to build media themselves.
Yeah, and also, like, the media in the last 20 years, there's been some major mistakes, right, that the media has made and things that have been covered incorrectly, especially at a national level. And I think people then equate that to, well, like, all the media is bad or every, I can't believe anything. And it's, well, like, no, that's not actually the case, but then it just becomes this vicious cycle where, well, now this person that I don't really like anyway is now saying a report that I don't like, so I'm just not going to believe them no matter what.
You know what's kind of jacked everything up is the misuse of the word subscriber. Subscriber, you used to have to pay for something. That means if you paid for something, you would have to repeat and give out quality because they are paying you for your services. But now you can hit a subscribe button on a social media site or what have you, and you could have 20 million people follow you, and kind of us in this industry is like, okay,
I
are
wish
you
I
able?
Had 20 million people.
Well, no, but here's the thing: you would ask, is there a way you can get a dollar from them every month, right? And if you can't, then you almost have to say you're now working with sub pennies, less than pennies. So sometimes it's like, I've got 20 million people that follow me, but I may not have $4,000 coming in from 20 million people, and in this industry, they fire for that stuff, right? Like, you got all these people, we can't sell it. You know, so that's the other part of it is, a lot of times when they talk about this non-traditional media, they don't have a sales department.
Yeah.
Right? So when you don't have a sales department, you don't have the urgency of putting money on the books for the complete operation. Like, do you have a legal counsel and team of people that can do that? So that's why when you hear some of these bigger names, they're like, oh, it's not really non-traditional. It's just they have a sales department. They have a legal team. But when you try to do it at home, you don't have a legal team or a sales department, and you can find yourself getting caught up. I think that's where it's going to go.
Well, and I think, and there's also because of that. And look, there is value in everyday people with smartphones being able to document news as it happens. I think there is value to that. However, how many of those people fact check things, right? Or really follow up on things that are said, and then
take a two-hour thing that are cleared by your lawyers for the company to make sure that These are the things that you cannot say or imply. These are your things because you can be held legal. You can be held liable. And I think that's going to be that next phase is, when does the liability start to play into it? Because
and we even saw, like with the last election, Dominion Voting Systems sued Fox News, right? They had to pay a lot of money. They were held liable for that. But then someone on social media that might say a similar claim, they're not necessarily held liable in the same way.
How can I take your house when you rent it, right? Right.
Like it's just a little bit different. And again, it goes back to like everyone has their points of view and the things that either anger them politically or non-politically or that they enjoy. And I think it's a lot easier to believe something that you want to hear no matter what, right? The whole confirmation bias thing, right?
Yeah.
If you want to hear it or you already believe it and someone on the TV says it, then you're going to buy into it. But if they say the opposite thing, even if what they're saying is true, then maybe you're less likely to believe it, or at least you don't want to, because, again, it's not what you want. It's not how you feel.
With all this drama we've just been talking about for the last several minutes, this is the perfect time to introduce a new feature on KJ and Lyons. Now, this is one of those like the McRib. It's not always on the menu, but depending on how it goes, we'll see. Hit it, Zach.
The young and the clueless.
This person doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Do they struggle professionally because they are young?
Might be a little bit indecisive at times.
Or do they struggle because they seem to be professionally clueless?
Would be nothing.
The Young or the Clueless, a sports soap opera for men. It's KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
So Zach will present a character. John, you will determine if you think they are young or clueless. And then I will act in prose. Zach.
First one, Ja Morant.
See, Ja Morant, he's just clueless. Like, you get suspended, what is it, 25 games or whatever for having a gun in a video and then or having a gun at the club, and then he has a video with a gun in it, and he just can't get out of his own way half the time. My man Ja Morant is clueless.
You say Ja Morant is clueless? But Ja, you're so young, and yes, the gun culture is real, but hip-hop artists aren't usually real killers. I wouldn't say you're clueless because Memphis, where the hell is it? Ja Morant, you're just young, but keep it up. You'll be clueless playing in San Antonio. End scene. Next.
Next up, Bronny James.
See, he's just young, you know, and we criticize that pick from the Lakers and what it says about the NBA and the Lakers and all that. But look, he's just a young guy, rookie, trying to find his way, and he got drafted by his dad.
Bronny James, because of your father is the only reason why you have a job in the NBA, taking away earnings and food from real men who can contribute to a bad Laker team. Son, you're clueless. Did you not see what you averaged at college? Not, I don't know what your grades were, but damn, you sucked on the basketball court at a school that sucked. Bronny James, you're clueless. Next.
Anthony Richardson.
I kind of like this.
Anthony Richardson, to me, there's an... See, I think the Colts are more the clueless ones on this, but I'm going to go with young for him because he just needs time to develop. I don't think the Colts have done a good job developing him. I think a lot of this is young, not clueless.
Anthony Richardson, you can run, but you cannot throw. That's why they are hiding you. Son, 8 for 23 and 14 for 84. And I mean 14 attempts and 84 yards. There's something that's not clicking. I'm concerned, Anthony Richardson, because many people question, were the Colts clueless taking you so high? Such a project! Son, you're starting to look clueless. Damn, I'm a great actor.
Next up, Daniel Jones.
Clueless. I mean, he never should have been drafted that high. But, I mean, how many times can you keep throwing the same interception over and over again? I go clueless here.
Daniel Jones, you should be in that Grateful Dead song. At least Casey Jones was high on cocaine and could at least win a game. Sending you off to that smart college proves that you're just an absolute horrible quarterback. Who goes to Duke and becomes a quarterback? You go to Duke to play basketball or be a doctor. I'm so disappointed in you, Daniel Jones. You could have been a handsome doctor in North Carolina. You could have been something, but no. You're clueless.
Tua Tagovailoa.
We keep it straight faces with this.
Tua, I'm gonna go clueless here because he's not young anymore, right? He's been in the league like 6 years, so you can't use the young excuse.
Not wearing
anymore.
The guardian cap does fall under clueless. So,
huh? Did someone say my name? Oh, what is that again? Oh, are you Mac Jones? Oh, you were talking about Tua. You've lost some memory. And now you believe you're strong. And I know you're young and part of that fire blood inside of you. But son, you've been knocked clueless.
Oh. Will
Either
Levis.
This is the worst bit in the world or this is really funny. It's one or the other.
I like it. I think it's awesome.
Will Levis is clueless. I mean, again, like I said about Daniel Jones, how many times can you throw the same interception over and over and over again? I mean, Mason Rudolph's better at your job than you.
You frat boy, mayo sandwich-eating, non-thinking quarterback. I know Kentucky's bluegrass, but damn, son, did you smoke it too? Giving the ball away like it's Christmas and handing out turkeys at Thanksgiving to the poor. Will Levis, you're clueless. Clueless! I swear there's only two more or three more, right?
Yeah, three more. Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence.
I'm going to go young here. I think he was put in a terrible situation his rookie year. He's been put in some other bad situations. So I'm going to lean towards young and not clueless here.
Oh, sunshine. When you spoke that Sports Illustrated article saying you could take football or leave it. Full of football, and now you're trying to figure your way out in Jacksonville, Florida. Have you been to Jacksonville? It's kind of interesting. So you're just a rebel who probably needs to cut his hair, especially after yesterday's results. You're not clueless, Trevor. You're just young. Oh, whoever said this show was serious. Two more.
I can't get over that you're going to have to cut your hair. Next up, Bryce Young.
Bryce Young, my guy. Clueless. Everything about that Carolina Panthers team is clueless, so I got to go clueless here.
You wonder why she doesn't love you is because she's short. And women don't like short men, Bryce. But defenses do. Have you thought about changing your position or convincing your owner to keep his drinks to himself? Oh, I just think you're, I don't know. I mean, hell, your last name is Young. Maybe you're just height challenged. I can't say you're clueless. Oh, someone needs to love you. Maybe become a defensive back? Slot receiver? Oh, you're just short. I can't even call you Young or clueless. This is so hard. Oh.
Last
you know,
one.
This is all improv, right? These are not scripted sayings. This is a damn talent. This is going to be a good one here.
Last one, Jerod Mayo.
Oh,
he's young. Like, you know, it's only his fifth year coaching, first year as a head coach. Sometimes it feels like he's clueless, but I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass here and say it's young, some growing pains along the way.
Jerod, what do you know about the ownership that has you in this position? You've played yourself smart, been at the dinners, been at the table, been overseas on the ownership's mind. This is why I say you're not clueless, you're just young, and may help you through the way. End scene. You like that, John? It's stupid, isn't it?
It is above average. We'll give it.
It's an acquired, like Zach can, like this is my homage to Zach being a Young and the Restless fan. So Zach, when you're here, not all the time, occasionally I will bust out The Young or The Clueless. I told you, so you think that Bronny James is just young and he's not clueless.
You want to hear the real punchline of all this, KJ?
What?
Zach's never seen an episode of The Young and the Restless. I made it up.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It was an
inside joke.
Not even an inside. I just said it in one offhand comment, and then we ran with it, and people started texting in. And Zach
kind of played me too, because I was like, hey, what did you start?
In the show sheet, it just says Young and the Clueless. I'm like, oh, this is expanding. This is. I mean, it was what we were just talking about with the media environment, right? Misinformation. You were misinformed.
I've been hit with my own fake news.
Yes. So now you know what has to happen. Now Zach has to go home, and he actually has to watch some of the show.
You know what? I feel really dumb because I asked Zach. I was just like, oh, are you familiar with so-and-so on the show? Now it makes sense when you came with
no
the same.
He had no idea who any of them were.
He had no idea who any of them were.
And you were like, is Zach that guy still selling this thing?
Oh, my
and Zach
gosh.
Was like, yeah.
What a way to tickle the taint here on the KJ and Lyons show. I had no idea, and that's what makes it even funnier. So can I get some of that drama
Zach
music on the way out,
Zach has to go home, though, and watch the show. That's homework.
All 50 seasons.
Really? Can I get that music on the way out? Zach Coe, you don't have to fool anybody here. We love you for who you are. And we thank you for being here on KJ and Lyons, WEEI, where everybody eventually is included. KJ Lyons continues next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.